continue in the message we started a week or so ago. We're looking at this idea of God's prerequisite for acquiring wisdom in our life. Last week, we took a look at verse number 1, and we talked about that we need the first prerequisite to receive God's wisdom was to receive God's Word. So I trust this past week that you've been working really diligently and diligently on this matter of receiving God's Word. But that leads us to verse number 2 and 3 as we look at the second prerequisite for acquiring wisdom, and that's in verses 2 and 3, and it's this: respond to God's Word. So let's read verses 2 and 3, and we'll just read verses 1, 2, and 3, then we'll have a word of prayer. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou inclineth thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding. O Father, as we look into your word another time, I pray, Father, as we look particularly at verses 2 and 3 this Wednesday, Father, I pray, Lord, you'll give us an understanding that we need to do more than just receive your word, Father. We need to respond to that word. So, Father, I pray that as your people really get a hold of this second prerequisite for the pursuit of wisdom in their life, that, Father, they would latch on to this and not only hear God's word, but they would respond to it. So, Father, we pray if anybody be here this evening that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that before they leave the building, they would allow us that opportunity to share with them the glorious knowledge of Christ's resurrection and what he has done for them on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So it's not enough just to receive and learn godly instructions. You know, we learn a lot of different things, and we learn instructions, but that doesn't mean we have wisdom. We must respond to the instruction from God's Word. If all we do is sit in here Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday p.m. and Wednesday and just received all this knowledge, but we don't respond to this knowledge, guess what? We're wasting our time being here in the house of the Lord. So these verses really outline what we need to do if we're going to respond to God's Word. And the question I thought to myself as I read these, how am I going to respond to God's Word? Well, notice first of all, in the first part of verse number 2, if we're going to respond to God's Word, we're going to have to, get this, have open ears. We're going to have open ears. Notice verse 2, so that thou incline thine ears unto wisdom. That word incline is a very, very strong word. It means not only to hear, but it means to be attentive. How many times do you think your children have looked right at you in the eyes while you're yelling at them or trying to impart some of your great knowledge to them, and you think they're at least hearing it, but they're not really being attentive to it, amen? Maybe like a friend, when you start telling them a story and they start looking at you like this, then they're looking at their watch and their phone buzzes and they're picking it up. That's not being very attentive. This word here, this word incline, means to not only hear, but it means to be attentive. It means to heed. It means to hearken to. It literally means this, to pay attention to, or we could say listen to. We've all heard this thing, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? In other words, can you hear me? I'm listening to you as well. So how does God speak to us? Well, we know throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, God has spoken many different ways, and that's a good Bible study. But I think today he speaks to us as we hear and as we study, as we saw last week, as we memorize his word. And as we study God's word, guess what? The Holy Spirit of God takes it and makes it personal to our life. That's why I'm so thankful that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is takes the word, and the Bible said he is our teacher. He makes it personal to me and you. And I look at one verse, and I look at that, and I understand the doctrinal truth of that in the context of it, but you could read that verse, and you can apply it to your life in some way that I don't apply it to my life. Well, how does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit works in our lives, takes his word, and makes it personal in our life. He then uses it as we walk day by day throughout our life. You see, there's a difference besides just receiving God's word. There's a difference to responding to God's word. Take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Who would like to read that for the pastor today? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. All right, go ahead, Spencer. Thank you. It's in the Old Testament, brother. Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 13. Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is our instructor. He's our teacher. And God's word comes alive through him in our life. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. This was a question that one of the pastors asked Pastor James. So we're going to let him walk us through this. Amen. Just to make sure if he still remembers it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't put people on the spot normally, but he was already put on the spot once before, so I know he knows the answer. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Pastor James, will you read that for us then? And then just walk us through those big four words there for us, please. Mm-hmm. Amen. Walk us through those four primary words there, brother, that you did during your ordination. Mm-hmm. Truth. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Walking in the right way. How to stay right. How to walk in the right way. Thank you. Thank you. We'll still let you keep your ordination paperwork after that, brother. Amen. So we think about this way. God's word is alive, and it's active in our lives. It's not only alive, it's active in our lives. It's only active, though, as we study God's word, as we memorize God's word, as we meditate upon God's word. The Bible is an absolutely essential part of your walk with God. So don't even try to come to me and say, I know, Pastor, I don't read my Bible like I should, but I'm really walking with God. Don't even tell me that, because I'm going to probably say, well, I don't believe what you have to say. And don't tell me that I don't have to go to church to be right with God. Listen, I understand, like your mother, she can't go to church. A great Christian is in a nursing home. But don't tell me that you can be a good Christian and stay home from God. And so here's the main thing I want to get through to you tonight. Do not neglect God's word. You know, Pastor James and I harp on this. Why do we do that? Because everyone neglects his word. They neglect his word. They neglect their prayer time. And so you'll never be what you ought to be for Christ. You won't have the power to be able to withstand the trials in this life without God's word, without the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God empowering you to do so. And if you ever think you can, just start, give up on your Bible reading and give up on your prayer for a little bit and just see how you fare in this world. It's the only way that he speaks to us personally, and I'm going to say this, powerfully as well, through his word. Wisdom is only found by paying attention to God when he speaks to us. It's not just good enough just to have it on the shelf. We have to respond to what he has. Well, Jesus said to the churches of Asia Minor, then we'll stop here for today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I'm saying to you, he that hath the ear, you listen to what God is speaking to your heart tonight. And so we see that, first of all, we need to have open ears. And you can look at the rest of these two verses. You can figure out where we're going to go next time we meet, amen, that we need to have part of verse number 2, an open heart. And then we need to have a voice that cries out. So you meditate upon those last two points till we meet again next time. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. Father, it's been so good to us, Father, as we study here in Proverbs chapter number 2. And Father, surely we know that we are to receive God's word. But Father, if we're really going to have this this prerequisite in our pursuit of wisdom, it's only going to come as we begin to respond to God's Word. And Father, the first way that we respond to God's Word is to have open ears. So Father, I pray particularly as we head this coming week into revival, that we'll have open ears, Father. That we'll have open ears to listen to what the man of God has to say for us. Father, I know our evangelist that's coming personally. And Father, no doubt every time he goes to a church, he prays and prays and prays for the messages that we need to hear. So Father, I pray that you would be a help to us. First of all, Father, that we would be in our place, so we might hear the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, I pray that you'll take away every distraction from our life. And Father, I know that the ugly man is going to show up and try to get us distracted from next week, come up with every kind of excuse why we don't need to be there, we can't be there, we shouldn't be there, you don't need to be there. You heard this man preach before. Father, I pray that Satan would be bound from us, Father. And not only Satan, Father, but more likely our own flesh, Father, that we would learn to serve the inner man and not the outer man, our flesh. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for your church next week, Father, that as we gather together, Father, we'll be hearers of the word. And then, Father, as James says, we'll become doers of the word as well. So, Father, I pray for the evangelist as he travels here. I pray for his final preparations. No doubt he's preaching somewhere this week, Father. I pray as he finishes up this week, Father, you'll give him fruit for his labor. And then, Father, may we have a wonderful time just fellowshipping with your man as he preaches to us this week. And then, Father, I pray most importantly of all that our hearts would be open and our ears would be open to hear what you have for us. And then we'd apply those great truths to our lives, Father, that we might to be made more like you. So, Father, I think of the prayer requests, Father, that were lifted up today. I pray, Lord, particularly for those that are happening in the next couple of days till we meet again, Father. May your perfect will be done in those, Father. And, Lord, we love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless.